I don't. Well, my therapist would say I'm not led by my heart. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I definitely think logically.
What the fuck do they know?
What the fuck do they know? You know, so it helps me appreciate.
Hello and welcome to the UK Surf Show. We are your hosts. I'm Pete.
And I'm Mitch, and this is definitely not the second recording of the intro.
Yeah, definitely not. The dog definitely didn't like run across all the wires and rip everything out and get screamed at. So, you know, that's fine.
And Pete's in a great mood to start this one off.
He's always in a fantastic mood, aren't I? You know, living the dream. But we will be living the dream because we are off to the northeast.
We are off to the northeast, and you know what? I am super stoked about that because the northeast, as you know, is where I learnt to surf badly. And
where do you surf badly now?
I still surf badly. I'm just doing it somewhere else. But no, coming back from Afghan, you know, when I started surfing, and I was posted in the northeast. I was near Harrogate, near Thirsk, and Saltburn was the closest spot to me, which is about 45 minutes away. So the place I learned to surf was Tynemouth, which was about an hour and a half away instead of the closest place.
And why did you not surf at this closest place?
Well, do you know what? Somebody told me, and I wish I knew who that was now, that Saltburn was full of rocks. And I don't like surfing rocky beaches now. So at the time, I was like, all right, I won't go there. So I would go either Tynemouth or I'd go Scarborough. And then we went to Saltburn one weekend with the family, and it was low tide. I'd never been there because it was a super rocky beach. And I was like, what's all these fucking rocks? There's no fucking rocks. There is on one side, but the main beach is like, it's the longest beach and it's just sand.
there's someone out there now going, oh, you've just fucking ruined it for all of us. That's it. Great.
Yeah.
So
it's
yeah.
like a right of way, like a passage where you just, that's what you tell people so no one comes. But you know what? It's such a great surf community, and the Northeast is a massive, massive surf community as well. Loads of surfers, and there's loads of good surfers there.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked to show you around the spots that I know, all the way from Saltburn north of there to Tynemouth, like I said, to Bamborough, a few other spots down to Scarborough. And yeah, we're going to have a great time, man. As long as there's waves.
As long as there's waves. As long as my van makes it there, so that'll be good. I looked on the map earlier to where are we staying? Do you know where we're staying? You know where we're staying.
We're staying in Bamborough. Yeah, we're staying in Bamborough. My friend's runs a boot camp there. I think I've spoke about him on the show before. Dan, ex-Squarry, same cat badge as I was. Got these high-end boot camps, and surfing's part of it, as well as loads of outdoor activities and, you know, bushcraft, that sort of stuff. And actually, Dan done a thing called the Paddle of Britain. I'm sure I spoke about him when I was on the show as a guest.
Yeah.
And he basically, I think he paddled the entire coastline of the UK, but including all the inlets. So I don't know if you was to look on a map in the north of Scotland, whereas like probably down south, you might get a few inlets here and there, but it's full of inlets up north. Like, so it just adds hundreds and hundreds of miles in total. And he'd done this whole thing just on a canoe, self-sufficient. I think it was like 3 months. He was told it couldn't be done by like an expert in this sort of stuff. In fact, the guy was like his hero, like Dan's hero. He was his go-to, you know, look to sort of person, ask advice. And he called him up, he got his number and called him up and was like, this is what I'm planning on doing. And the guy was just like, nah, you'll never do that. Don't even fucking bother. What? Like, that whole thing, never meet your heroes, you know? And then he obviously done it. So that's where we're staying. Bamborough's stunning. So I'm looking forward to you getting some surfing there.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, as I say, I looked on my map earlier, and that's a nice 6-7 hour drive for me. Obviously taking into account pee breaks as well, so that'll make it 10 hours.
Pee breaks,
yeah.
6 hours, man, I dream of short drives like that. If I want to go anywhere, that's about as far as I have to go.
It's just your fault for living in Scotland, though. But yeah, we've already got some great guests lined up for the episodes. And yeah, just like give us a shout. So anyone in the Northeast, tell us where we should go to eat, where we should visit, what we should do. anything, because as you say, Mitch has been there, lived around there and everything. I've never been there at all. I think, did I go to Newcastle once? Or did I just go past it? Can't remember. Anyway, I digress. So it doesn't really matter. It's not important, is it? Whether I've been there or not before.
No.
But I definitely haven't surfed there.
It's not important.
So, yeah, I know I've seen the Angel of the North, but I think I just drove past it and went, oh, look at that. And, yeah, that was it. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to surfing the North Sea and being
and
freezing
also,
cold.
When we're there, yeah. The clocks will have changed already. In fact, they're changing after we release this episode.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm talking bollocks. They've changed after we've recorded this episode, not after it's been released.
Yeah.
They've already changed if you're listening.
Yes.
And if you didn't know that, change your clocks.
Yeah,
right?
If you didn't
know
that, you're
age,
late.
You have to do that yourself, manual labour.
Yeah.
But so we're going to have tons of daylight, which I'm pretty stoked about. One of my favourite times of year when it starts getting into this. What do you mean? I can finish work and go for a surf.
Yeah.
Even though my job is surfing.
Yeah.
So I could do that anyway, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's get there. And it was very much it's not that it was a last minute thing. I think we just suddenly realised, I can't believe it's been 5 months since we've done the Wales edition.
That's mad.
And
it was like,
shit, we're running out of episodes.
Should we, do you want to talk about it? What's happened and everything? I don't mind going into it. So, I mean, we've done it on the Buy Me Coffee a bit and why we took so long and stuff like that. For listeners out there, people that aren't on the Buy Me Coffee, we took a bit of a break over Christmas period. As you know, we took January off. We just needed it. We were knackered. We've been like doing our own 9-to-5 jobs. We've been running this. And like we've been going through shit as well. So it's just I've been going through a separation and that's all been going on in the background. So that's, to be honest, I couldn't be bothered. That's the honest truth. I had no energy or extra in me to do it or get it out. And yeah, so that's been going on in the background. Also like stuff like therapy stuff and stuff like that that's been happening. Yeah, and it's just been a bit of a crap time. So we decided we would take some time off over. We did plan coming back sooner in January and we got halfway through and we were just like, do you know what? We'll just give it January. And yeah, and then we got to the point we were like, I suppose we better organise something. And you were like, I've got to take holiday by this time. And I was like, well, we haven't done a trip yet, so we haven't got anything else booked in there, or we're going to have to start doing online ones. And our online now is an absolute nightmare. Since the program we were using started charging a fortune, we can no longer use that one. We just can't justify paying for it. And it's just a bit of a nightmare. So now we record through Teams and both record separately. I mean, if you're on the Buy Me Coffee, you've probably heard this, but it's still a nightmare. And yeah, we're just getting there and we're getting back to it. And this trip will be well needed and what's the word I'm looking for? Tell me.
I don't fucking know. that's the longest I've gone without being able to speak ever on this.
I saw you twitching on the camera.
Like, come on, is it my turn yet?
Yeah, Mitch twitch cam, that's what we should have.
No, this is a welcomed break, even though it's not a break, it will be work, but it's enjoyable work to come and do this. We've said before, it's tiring recording. It's tiring but worthwhile, you know, and it sort of, it means we've got a lot of work to do afterwards, as always, because there's all the editing and putting it together. And I'm definitely not going to leave it till the Sunday that it's being released to start the edit, which was kind of where we were at for such a long time. We were both really bad at it.
Yeah.
You know, with all the best intentions, I'll get the edit done weeks in advance. And I think I'd done that once, then meaning I had 4 weeks to get the next one done, and then I still found myself on the Sunday just finishing it off. It's a long process editing an hour 40-minute episode, especially the way Pete Bloody does the claps at the start of this for me to align it. But yeah, so there's going to be a welcome break. It's been super busy for me at work, obviously, you know, building the world's first inland surf resort and Europe's largest wave garden near Edinburgh. And you can imagine, you know, without being a business person or any of that sort of stuff, or having ever built a wave garden, how much goes into something like that. You know, I'm still very much learning it.
I can't believe you're doing it. I can't believe you're doing it all on your own, you know, just by hand, building a wave garden all by yourself.
That's just what I do, mate. And a shovel and a bucket, like what, and a willing attitude.
Yeah.
A rough understanding of waves.
Yeah, planning went in 1990, but he's just got the shovel and cement out now.
So, and that's super exciting. But yeah, so we needed that break, and I don't think we both realised how much we needed it at the time.
Yeah.
Pete, you've obviously mentioned that, you know, you're going through a separation, and, you know, we've obviously spoke a lot offline about that. You know, you've tried to share your problems with me, and I've been a helpful mate by just trying to overshadow your problems and tell you my problems. I don't know if there's any other way to do it. Well, that might sound shit, Pete, but let me tell you about my day.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how everything's gone.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if I got a fucking headache, you got a brain tumour. Brilliant. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's exactly it. And, you know, and in fairness to Pete, you know, actually he's been, fucking hell, I'm about to give you a compliment. Do I want to do that? I don't know if I do. Pete's been really helpful for me as well. I've also been going through some shit in my own head. I probably wouldn't have been going through shit if I wasn't so aware of mental health, thanks to bloody Pete and all his therapy. So he was venting his therapy at me, and it made me realise that I am absolutely screwed.
Oh, my therapist has got some new ones that I can share with you as well, which will make you fucking love it.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear that. Yeah. I can't wait to hear that. And you've been doing that for, what, 6 months? Is that right?
Yeah, about 6 months. I found it fucking brilliant, to be honest. I would, like, when we spoke about it on I can't remember what episode it was one of the other episodes, and someone sent a message saying, really appreciate you opening up about, like, your own, like, struggles and going to therapy and stuff like that. And I found it so helpful of putting everything in. I thought I was going to go to therapy and be like, fix me then. She'd be like, oh, there you go. That's what your problem is. You need to do that. And anyway, she's like, yeah, I'm not going to do anything. And I'm like, well, why am I coming here then? She goes, no, you're going to do it, but I'm just going to guide you, basically. And it's what's happened. So, like, as we talk through things, I work things out in my head, why I've behaved in certain ways, what's done things that have triggered me to, like, do certain things, what's, like, set me off, and, like, all these different things. I can't think of words without using the word triggered, and I just think I sound like an idiot because that's the go-to word now, isn't it, used triggered. But yeah, it's been a long process, but I think I'm a lot better for it. And I think, like, speaking to you, than things I've said to you when you were talking, and you were like, oh, fucking hell, I never thought of that like that. And like saying, you know, well, it could be something like that that's done this, and, you know, without going too much into what your stuff is, that's for you to say, it's not for me to say. But yeah, and it's helped, and I think you seeing it helped me has helped you, helped me to help you, helped me to help you, you know, like, so it's, yeah. It's,
all that said, my real takeaway from whatever you've just waffled at me was, what a business model that therapist has. So you're a painter and decorator, right, by trade.
Yeah.
Imagine I paid you to come round the house and went, right, Pete, this is what I need you to do. I want this color, I want you to do that, this and that and the other. And you went, no, 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 I'm not going to do any of the work. You'd be like, hold on a fucking minute, I'm paying you for this shit, fix me.
so yeah, so there's, English isn't her first language. She's Czech. And so Mitch has a great pleasure in this, saying, bollocks, she can speak perfect English, she just doesn't like you. So the one thing that I said, I don't know if I said it on air or the Buy Me Coffee, what she actually tried to, I might have said it on the episode 100, actually.
No, you said it on 100, yeah.
Which was, if you listened, you heard that. And what she meant to say was, I wouldn't like to live like that. But what she actually says was, I wouldn't like to live with you. And I was like, great, cheers, that's brilliant. And
perfect English speaker. Perfect English, like, yeah. There is no language barrier. I've never actually heard somebody speak with better grammar than your therapist. And I think that's an absolutely entirely fair representation, having spent literally days with you in a van, in a house, in a barracks.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's nailed it.
The other two from last week was, first of all, I got there and I sat down and she said to me, huh, you look abandoned. And I was like, Charming. Cheers. And then she went, oh, I didn't mean it like that. And I was like, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, glad I ain't got abandonment issues. And then what was the other one? Yeah, and then she told me to touch myself in the session as well. So that was another interesting one as well, which was just right, leave okay. it as that. But it wasn't meant
where I go with that one.
Anything like that at all. So yeah,
I think Pete, I think that's probably my realization that perhaps she does have a language barrier, and what she meant to say was stop touching yourself. I think that's more than likely accurate.
Oh yeah. Never mind, but yeah. So, what else has happened? We've had. So, yeah. I'm before I move on, actually, yeah. So, thanks for all the messages about. You know, it is a difficult thing to do to open up and talk about your own sort of problems, and I haven't gone into it too much because it's not just me involved in my side of it, so it's not fair to do that. But that's basically what's been happening in my life, and it got me to a point of going, actually, maybe it is time for me to have a look at myself and see if it's anything wrong with me or that I'm broken or whatever. But yeah, I'm getting there.
Well, no, but and that's an important thing to be able to do, to be able to step back and take an objective look at yourself, or even just to help understand a little bit of how you think, or actually why you think, is probably something I've learned. Not necessarily. I think we've both spoke about this before. Like, I don't know. For myself, I could wake up in the morning just pissed off. Yeah. And for that entire day, I'll be pissed off. I'll have no idea why. Not a clue. Nothing will have happened. Just been a bad mood. And then the next day, once I've had a sleep, happy as Larry again. Like, no understanding of that. And I think I always try to look at that. Always try to wonder, like, what is it that's pissed me off? And maybe that outlook was completely wrong. I'm trying to look at a logical side of things,
yeah,
and maybe not the emotional side, which is something I've learned quite a lot. You know, like Pete mentioned, I've also been in therapy, and for me that was a huge step. Christmas was a really difficult time, and it's mad because it should have been the best time ever. Because last Christmas, you know, Special K was going through chemo, and it was really, really hard for her, like really hard. Like I couldn't even begin to describe how difficult a time she had. Like Christmas Day, she had to go to bed during dinner, and it was just really, really tough. You know, it's that day. I think Christmas, probably anybody would understand as a parent for sure. Like it's almost like you feel pressured.
Yeah.
To be happy or to provide a great time. And roll on a year later, so Christmas gone, and for some reason it was now my turn to find it really difficult, and I didn't really know why. There was something in me changed, and I was just really struggling with myself. Like I felt a bit lost in myself, and I couldn't work out what was going on. I was just like really, really down, and and that was affecting. It was affecting. I think it was affecting everyone around me, but not because. It's hard to verbalize. It wasn't affecting. It was really me. I had a realization that I was a little bit different around the people that are closest to me, and yeah. I wasn't as open or not open. I wasn't as vocal, like. Like, you know me, I'll fucking talk shit to anyone about anything, and I have a laugh about
But the thing is, you're talking shit about anything to anybody, but you're not talking the shit that's actually important. You're talking shit because it doesn't, you don't have to get to the deeper stuff then. You can just sort of stay surface level.
Yeah, so I guess, and it's really that I'm not having vulnerable conversations, and I guess that's it. And that's, I realized it, and it really, really started to bother me, and it was bringing me down massively. And it's mad because everything else in my life was in a great place. You know, I'm out of the army. I've got a dream job at Lost Shore. You know, I'm doing really cool things. I'm part of conversations and filming stuff about things that are deeply
You're part of what? Sorry, what's the most important one you're part of in there? You missed it.
And I've been on I've been invited on all these other podcasts and...
Such a dick, honestly.
And, you know, obviously we're flying with what we're doing, right? So I was in a great place with everything, but suddenly there's something in my head, a realization that I'm not quite myself with the people that I want to be myself with.
Yeah.
And that bothered me, and I didn't really know what to do with that information. And really, it was chatting to you and actually hearing Mike that we had on, Logan's coach.
Yeah.
We had Mike on. He spoke a lot about part of his degree. He had to do therapy. You have to go through it so you can practice it or preach it. And the more I heard people talk about it and saying it was beneficial, the more I thought, do you know what, maybe I should try and do that. Because I know I've had a rough upbringing. Like, it was savage. I used to get beaten with shovels out the fire and shot with BB guns by an alcoholic dad, you know, as a 5-4-year-old, that sort of age. It's pretty brutal. And had loads of other things, you know, been surrounded by cancer my entire life, you know, in the last 4 years, with as many family members taken by it. So there's a lot in there. And I think I know that really what I need to do is get them events visited.
Yeah.
But that's not what I ended up doing. I think my therapy was different to yours. I'd done something called cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, CBT.
CBT, which is more about understanding the why you're thinking the way you are.
Yeah.
As opposed to exploring these sort of deep-rooted reasons that you like that, because it's not like there's been a switch, is it, in your life? There's been a process of events that have clearly led up to you reacting the way you do. And I don't think I react through humour, because that's a shield. I think I'm just funny as fuck. You know, but we've got a comedian coming on the show as part of the Northeast trip, and I've already said to Pete, I don't know how many times, I bet I'm fucking funnier.
I love the fact that the only person that thinks you're funny is you, though.
That's absolute bollocks. I'm the funniest person, certainly in this seat here where I am now. Yeah. But. Yeah. So it's been a bit of a journey, that was, I said it before, but I didn't know if I was going to get into it or not when I spoke about the emotional versus the logical. That's what I was told. That was the bit where I didn't quite believe. She was like, "You're obviously a very logical thinker," and I was like, "Thinker?" Yeah. I just open up and whatever comes out. But she said, "You're very logical. The thing that you don't seem to connect with is the emotional side." So that's the thing that I'm supposed to be working on and trying to. And I've got this thing, I've told you about it before. It's a thought wheel.
Yeah.
It's this big circle and it's just got loads of feelings in it. And you're supposed to go into a scenario and then like try and think about how you feel in that scenario. And at times I've been like, am I supposed to get my phone out and like go through the wheel, be like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah, it can be a bit confusing, can't it? I mean, I think I've had similar things where the emotional side of it, I've sort of disconnected from it. And that's like stuff from my childhood that I've like been through. And it was stuff like with a parent of never telling me that like, anything was good, everything I was doing was useless and rubbish and all that sort of stuff. And it's made me a similar sort of thing to you've said, like my therapist said to me, you like when you speak about it logically and you're talking about it, you've got all the tools there to deal with everything you need to do, but when you're in the moment and situation, you don't. And my go-to is like, oh fuck it, what's the point then, I won't bother, what's the point? So that's my go-to.
Yeah, right.
And it's very much when I sit down and when I start talking about it and like calmly thinking about it and going through it, I've got everything there, and I'm like, logically, I'd be like, yeah, this and this and this. And I was chatting to a mate about it, and I said, logically, my brain works fine. But when I'm in the moment, I'll just be like, no, fuck you, then, like, you know, and it goes off of one. He said, yeah, but logically, I know how to reverse a car with a trailer on the back, but physically, I can't fucking do it.
I've got both of them elements down.
Yeah.
Where I've found this beneficial on a slightly different level is that, right, maybe I didn't know this before, but I'm a logical thinker, not an emotional one. I'm not led by my therapist would say I'm not led by my heart. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I definitely think logically.
What the fuck do they know?
fuck do they know? You know, so it helps me appreciate, because I think Special K is an emotional thinker massively, yeah. And I think we are probably then on the furthest ends of the spectrum. So it's helped me realize that, because it's not a choice. You don't think the way you think through choice. That's just the way you are. So while I'm going, well, this makes fucking sense. Why would this not make sense?
Yeah.
I can now understand, or I can step back and appreciate that just because I think like that doesn't mean other people do. So I can see that aspect of it. Like, ultimately, obviously, I'm right.
So I've got the thing of like, where when it comes to my own thoughts, I'm very like straightforward. Like, that's how I think, that's it. But when it comes to, say it was something to do with you and I was going somewhere or having a conversation with you, I'd look at it from loads of different objectives, like from loads of different sides and everything, and be like quite open to everything, like if we're having a conversation. When it comes to me, I'm just like, that's it, nope, that's it, straight down there, that is it, that's where I'm going. And it's like, it's trying to open that up and trying to open your mind and like expand your whole being more, isn't it? Just to not be, you know, I always say, like, people only know what they know. You know, if you're in a household where you're getting beaten every day, it's not great, but if that's what you know, that's all you know, and it's perfectly, like, although it's not normal to everyone else looking in, if that's what you're living, that's perfectly normal to you, you know, in a way. I know that's a bit of an extreme example, but you can only ever know what you live or how you think, and until you start looking outside of that. And then you go, oh, right, maybe that's not normal, whatever that normal is. I'm not normal per se.
Feelings, they just are. That's what I keep hearing from the therapist.
Yeah.
You're not right or wrong, they just are.
Yeah, they are.
So, part of my concern, like I say, was that I was feeling like I wasn't given Special K what she needed from me, and on an emotional level. Like, I know I'm super supportive and I know I'm super amazing, and
I know what you really wanted to say then. I know I'm super amazing in the
mate, come on, I'm Italian, of course I am.
Why is it every time it comes to this you're Italian, every other time no, I'm Scottish, and then it comes to something like that, buongiorno, come ti chiami?
I give everything that I possibly can because it matters to me, because she's genuinely amazing and I want to make sure I'm giving her all the right things. And that sort of crossed my mind that maybe I'm not giving her the emotional side of me, like that vulnerable side. And that was the sort of the realization. And then I was thinking, I feel like maybe I'm the same with my kids. And, you know, my kids are now 16 and 17. They'll turn 17 and 18 this year. They're a year and 10 days apart, which is super close, obviously. You know, and when I left the army last year, like, my soldiers that were turning up were pretty much the same age as they are now. So they could turn up and I could have like turbo bants with them, like me and you do, you know, because, and I'm not it's a good thing in the army because you can sort of separate age and you're just, that's who you're with, and you can, you know, react at that level and just get on with it and have a laugh. And I was like, why am I not like that with my kids? But kind of, again, realization out of that. And there's all these things, you know, building up in my head.
Yeah.
I'm not giving people this. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. And, you know, the realization is that they're my kids. So maybe I should be being more respectful because I'm trying to set an example. I'm not wanting them to be like, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with 17, 18-year-old squaddies and the banter that we would have. But actually, that's probably not right because that's not what I want my kids to be like.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing I've learned, well, there's two things. One, I say a lot of I could, I should. This is what I should be doing. This is what I could be doing.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda is the last words of a fool.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, sloppy, choppy, weak wave.
Yeah.
And she said, you say that a lot. And I'm like, yeah, but that's how I feel. You know, that's what I should be doing. And the other thing that came up is that, and I've now had people, I've spoke to a few other people about this, and apparently I do this, I if I've done something epic, right, which, you know, I probably do most days, like I've built a wave garden by myself, as we discussed. Or building, sorry, I'm not finished yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. If I do something that genuinely is really cool, really good, like, or whatever, I want, even if I'm shouting about it, I won't just shout about it and own it. I'll shout about it and then find a way of bringing myself down.
Yeah.
At the end, like I'll find something. And I suppose surfing's a great example, because this is something I've been aware of a lot more since this came up.
Yeah.
I'll talk about my surfing. I'll talk about having a good wave. You'll never hear me talk about surfing, having a great wave, and then not finish it with something like, well, a good wave for me, you know, to anyone else, it would just be shit. All they've done is go left.
Yeah.
And I think that's being humble. I don't know, but a few other people have said, yeah, you do that all the time, actually.
That's
and I don't
not,
know if
not,
that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't think it is being humble, because I think it comes from a place of self-doubt. And I've been going through this sort of thing recently as well. It comes from a place of self-doubt and maybe not thinking you're good enough, or that someone's going to think you're arrogant for being like that or something like that. So you always like bring it back down. Whereas my thing is always going like, I've always found it really difficult to give, not as much give compliments, but to receive compliments. So when someone says to me, oh, that's amazing, or that's great, it just like my, it just makes my whole body cringe. Like it's just, it's just so uncomfortable. And I just never been able to like receive them like that. And like with younger kids growing up and getting older and having younger kids around, you learn to do that and like, oh yeah, that's fantastic, that's amazing. But if I say something to like an adult where I think they've done something really good, and I want to go yeah, that's amazing, that's fantastic, I find myself feeling it really forced and fake. So my normal go-to is someone goes, oh, that's really good, and I go, yeah, that's all right. that's all right.
Start giving you as many compliments as possible now that I know that.
Yeah. And then I told you what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to speak multiple languages at you all the time, then, just to freak you out.
That's true.
Yeah.
That does get me.
Yeah.
That does get me. Yeah. So it's been a journey. It's been, I think, for both of us, you said to me the other day, actually, that I think 6 months in, but it's taken you 6 months to realize its value properly.
Yeah.
I'm only like, I've done 5 of 6 sessions and I'm about to move on to something completely new, because I think I do need to explore the things in my past, because I know they're pretty brutal. But I was about to say something. I won't talk about that, but that's maybe a bit too much. I don't mind being open and stuff, but there's some things that are just a bit too, they're not for airing.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? I did try and get therapy once before, about a year and a half ago, when I was in the army, and I can't remember if I told you about it or not.
You told me about it, but you haven't spoken about it.
Did I tell you? I can't remember, but yeah, I don't mind saying now, but actually the reason it was, I found it harder to go and try and even look at having therapy is because of what happened the first time I did. So I went and seen, you know, an army doctor, and most of the time army doctors are there, soldiers, and when I say soldiers, I mean they're military. They've not done a full Sandhurst officer training. They've done a very short course. They're not soldiers, and sorry if I've got any military doctor friends listening, but you're not a soldier. I sat in, and I added a few pretty horrendous things had gone on, family related, and I was just really struggling, right? I didn't know what to do. So I'll go see the doctor and I'll just try and explain what's going on, right? And I was talking about that it was, my daughter was affected more, me being an Afghan, than I was, because I've come back and the stuff that's gone on out there. That's not them things in specifically, but I think just me being away, they've really got to her, and there's ongoing issues with that, right? So it was really bringing me down a bit, and he was like, oh, and what's caused that? And I said, well, it's this, and I sort of pointed at my uniform, this is what's caused that for my daughter, what I do. And honestly, this guy went, so if you're on the ranges firing, right, firing weapons, and as you know, I've been a weapons instructor and a range instructor for forever, if something happens, if there's an incident or you need people to stop firing, literally the word of command is to shout, stop, yeah. right? And it's a hand up and everyone stops firing. And literally I said that to the doctor. I went, because of this, pointing up a uniform, and he literally turned to me and went, stop, as if we were on the ranges. He was like, it's not because of that. And he spoke to me like I was a fucking child, like I was a trainee soldier in basic training.
Yeah.
And I was just like, out of respect, I was like, look, fuck it. That, I came here with a problem. It was hard enough for me to speak about it.
Yeah.
And it took me quite a long time to verbalize what I was trying to say to him as well, because it was really, I'd never spoke to anyone about it.
Yeah.
And I was quite emotional. And it got to that, and it was just like a switch, you know? I was like, back in the box.
Yeah.
Like, I am not going to open up to anyone else about this.
Yeah.
And I left. I went back and seen my boss. Like, I went fucking mental. And that was it for like a year and a half. Like, even though I was considering it, I couldn't go back to it. Because if you find it hard to do that, and we speak about it, we have spoke about it a lot, you know, and supported it, mental health for everyone. And then that's your experience of trying to do it.
Yeah.
Why are you going to go back to it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that thing of, like, you can't be forced therapy. You can't have therapy until you're ready to do it. But when you are ready to do it like you were then, and for have someone to scream in your face for, you know, from an outsider looking in of, like, the army, how great they say they are on, like, mental health and, like, looking after people. And, like, the stories I've heard, not just off you, but from other people who've been in the army, I'm like, even down to I've heard, like, a friend that owns an outdoor shop that says we get army people coming in to buy their own kit because the kit they get supplied is shit. And it's like all stuff like that. And I'm like, is it just really just a smokescreen thing of the army of like, oh yeah, it's amazing, we're all great and everything's brilliant, we really look after you, and then they fucking don't? Or is that just me just like...
Well, I won't get into a rabbit hole of kit and equipment, because to be fair, kit and equipment has got a lot better.
Since everyone started buying their own.
But the reason it's got better is because of the sad reality of soldiers being killed in Iraq and Afghan and all these places, and the parents of them soldiers highlighting it to newspapers, the likes of The Sun,
yeah.
who make a massive fuss over these stories. So the kit and equipment hasn't got better because it just should, and it should evolve. It's got better because of that peer pressure from media, which is amazing to be able to get that. But at the same time, the scenario for it getting better is wrong. It should just be better because it needs to be better.
Yeah.
And, you know, government, MOD, try to save money and everything else. So that's why that's got better. But there's still kit and equipment you do need to buy yourself, right? But in terms of mental health, here's for me where the problem is, because the army, I'm not going to chat about the Navy and the RAF, probably it's the same, I don't know, but I wasn't Navy or RAF, but certainly in the army make a big thing of shouting about it, here's what we're doing for mental health, blah, 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 and it's publicised and it's forced on you. If somebody's shouting about something that they're doing, becomes a more of a look at what we're doing than it does about the person receiving that.
Yeah.
So the army talk about it, but it's not because they want to be doing it. It's just because that's what the peer pressure is suggesting they do. So it's like, here's a mental health day, here's some mental health training. But it's brutal. It's terrible. It was my perfect example was there. I went and tried to look at it. My commanding officer used to speak about mental health all the time. When I pushed a button, reality, that was not the case.
Yeah.
When I went to the military doctor for my regiment, I wouldn't say I was laughed at, because that's unfair on that doctor, but he spoke to me like I was a phase one student. I think I was probably older than the guy, certainly had a longer career than the guy, been on the ground, been amongst it, and that's how I was spoken to. So it's really poor. I hope it's better in the year that I've left. I can't imagine it is. Yeah. I cannot imagine it is.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we've gone right on a write-off on one from like what we were going to actually speak about, our northeast trip, and it's just gone into a bloody therapy session. But you know, people said like they really liked hearing us open up about it, so we, you know, we thought we'd expand on it. I didn't plan on us expanding on it that much, but that's what's happened. And
I didn't even know we were chatting about that. So yeah, that's came well, completely out of the blue to me.
But on the plus side of that, on talking about all that, one thing that does, and I've struggled to go surfing recently for multiple reasons. One, everything that's been going on at home. Two, as I said, when I have been able to go, this surf forecast has just been crap, and I can't afford to surf at the wave all the time. Multiple other reasons for people that I normally go with not going and stuff like this. So there's been, if I think about it, if I'd really wanted to like push myself and go, I probably could have gone, but I just haven't been like in the right headspace for it. But I know as soon as I go in the water as well, it'll be like a massive just like relief. I'll probably start bloody crying or something. We'll be in the northeast, I'll be like paddling out. You're right, Peter.
I've been telling you to go surfing for months as well. Like, it's actually pissing me off how little you surf, because I know what it'll do for you when you go.
Yeah. And it's pissing me off how little I've been surfing. But hey ho, we're almost back on real life track now, and opportunities are arising and things are happening, and I will be surfing a lot more and you will be surfing a lot less, because Lost Shore is going to take over all of your life and you're never going to be able to surf. And then they're going to, as soon as you go there, they'll put a rule in that people that work there can't surf in the pool. And that's what Andy said anyway to me. Andy Haddon rang me up and he said, what should I do with Mitch? And I said, well, make sure he's not allowed to surf when you get him in there properly. So that's happening. And he said, oh, by the way, how's your competition gone?
The competition is going amazing. In fact, what date is it?
So
it's
when
the 28th of March.
Yes, right, so when this comes out, the competition will be done and finished.
Done. But yeah, if you've missed the competition,
if you've missed it,
go and like it, comment on it, share it, but it's closed.
Yeah.
But do that anyway for us.
Yeah. If you won the competition, congratulations, well done.
Yeah, and if you didn't win, wait for the next one, but huge shout, thank you to everyone that participated. The last time I looked, there was like 800 comments or something daft on it. It is a pretty epic giveaway, in fairness. So we look forward to seeing you surf at Lost Shore, part of our giveaway. Get your surf skate, get your dry robe, your surface wetsuit, your subscription to Buy Me a Coffee. What else? Surf Skate Academy, lessons with Seba.
So if you've got any sense, you'll book your Lost Shore weekend and you'll get in contact with Seb at the same time, so you can have your surf skate at that same weekend as well with Seb. So, you know, you haven't got to travel to Scotland twice, because, I mean, I've got to go back up there at some point. And, well, if it wasn't for the fruit pudding and the Scottish morning breakfast evening roll. And
Scottish morning roll.
Yeah. Hey, I found them the other day. Where was I? I was in somewhere the other day. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but this is what it's like. Yeah, I found them in the shop somewhere around here, and I was like, oh, Scottish morning rolls. They weren't as nice as the one fresh from the bakery, but...
They're only good in Scotland. It's like Iron Brew. It doesn't travel. They're only good.
Crosses the border, and it just...
It's true. So I'm gonna go to Fraserburgh tomorrow. Fraserburgh. I think I'm going to go have a long Easter weekend in the van. And I'm a bit gutted because the Cruikshanks, who obviously we had on the show before,
going to Edinburgh.
They're not going to be about. They're competing at the Open, the Scottish Open, which is happening up in Thurso this weekend.
Right.
2 weekends ago, I think, when this is out, or 1 weekend ago when this is out. So a huge shout to Callie for absolutely crushing your first competition at the Open. Or if you didn't, well done for competing. Anyway, I'm super stoked. Like, the Groms that are coming through, the talent level is just so high. And when you get these families like the Cruikshank family, you know, we've always had them on the show, but if you haven't heard that episode, go have a listen. But two little kids, mum and the dad, and they all surf and they all charge. They're super nice, they're super humble. And it's just, for me, it's just a glimpse into the future of not just surfing in Scotland, but in the UK.
Yeah.
And that's before, you know, there's a wave garden, the biggest in Europe, open up here, and the ability to train this technical to such a higher level.
Yeah.
The future's in great hands.
Yeah. And they bought us pizza and they sticker bombed your van. So what, you know, what more can you want?
Well, yeah, they did sticker bomb the van, yeah. And to be fair, that was actually a really cool sticker. That might be the coolest sticker, probably the only acceptable sticker to have on my van.
I can't,
I mean, it's off now.
I can't believe you haven't got a UK Surf Show sticker on your van.
No sticker goes on my van. It's not that kind of van. You know, some vans are for stickers. They're generally ones hiding rust. yours hey. Just needs to be one big sticker, hands up.
I just need to get it wrapped.
But you know what I'm looking forward to about surfing up there is getting back in crystal clear water.
Because
I looked
so
outside
lovely.
Today. There was a potential of a surf out there, but it was onshore.
Yeah.
And the water was browner than I've ever seen it. Like, so I'm looking forward to just heading up, chilling and surfing, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, be good, man. I'm really looking forward to our northeast trip. So, as we said, if there's anyone there that you think we should speak to before we go, we're going there on the week of the 22nd, I think it is. That's the Monday.
I think so, the 22nd is a Monday. I'll probably get there the Friday or the Saturday so I can surf more, probably around Bamberger.
Yeah, and I think I'll be there on the Sunday. So
I'm not going to say who we've got on, but if you're on the Buy Me a Coffee, we'll let you know who's coming on.
Yeah.
But still, fire us your suggestions for guests.
Yeah.
Let us know places to go eat. And we're thinking about doing a couple of meets on the evenings. So, for example, if we're in Saltburn doing a couple of guests in nighttime, the little cool bar that's just on the beach on the corner when you go down the hill, we could all meet up in there. We're a load of guests, not a load of guests, we're a load of listeners if you want to do that.
Yeah.
But this time we'll do it when the venue is open. Yeah. Like when we planned it in Wales on the Sunday night and it turned out the place was closed entirely.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the same in Scarborough, Tynemouth, whatever. So
yeah, I think we'll let you know when we're there of where it's going to be. If you are on the Buy Me Coffee, there's now a Discord thing that you can join and look at and talk to other members of the Buy Me Coffee, talk to us. There's obviously bonus episodes on there as well. And we're in the process of rolling out some better discount codes as well for people who are on the Buy Me Coffee.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're making some serious headway with that as well. We've had some calls, some video calls.
Yeah.
Which confuses the shit out of Pete when I send him a link to a Teams meeting. Just does not know what's going on. But we're getting closer. We're getting closer.
Yeah.
And should probably add, for the ladies, or the men, if you're looking for a 40-something-year-old man whose name at the bottom of Teams, I probably shouldn't read out.
Yeah,
but it's the something
one.
Commander on.
If you've seen Jay and Silent Bob,
if you're looking, if you're looking for long walks along the beach, if you're looking for takeaway every single night, if you're looking for jungleless massive themed wallpaper, Pete is your man. Or if you're looking for somebody to just share a bloody drive with and go for a surf, Pete is your man.
Yeah, that's the one.
Somebody
the
to
one.
Take him surfing.
Someone to take me surfing. That's the one. Someone to go surfing with and share. It's not only even like sharing the fuel and sharing the expense. It's like having someone to talk to, because being stuck in my head, even my therapist doesn't want to be in my head. So like, you know, I don't want to be there by myself.
That's a horrendous place to be.
Oh, it's awful. It's hideous. Hideous. Yeah, so don't forget, like and subscribe on YouTube. Head over to the Instagram. Follow us on there. We're on Facebook. Mitch has taken over Facebook. Mitch also hasn't just started sending messages to people, really complimenting himself or dissing people and saying, this is Pete. Honestly, this is Pete who's messaging you, offending people. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So glad
huge
I gave
shout,
you the...
Andy.
Yeah. And
oh, actually, that's a good point, though. So the person that I didn't do that to, you obviously wrote that message yourself.
Yeah, obviously.
You were slating stand-up paddleboarders in a direct message to a stand-up paddleboarder.
Oh.
Shocking, Pete.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Andy messaged the Facebook page as well. Like Pete said, we don't really use it. I think you used to use it years ago, but I've just tried to start firing it back up and just getting some engagement on there, because some people are on Facebook, not Instagram.
Yeah.
And this guy, Andy, who I've got to know recently up here, stand up paddle boarder in St. Andrews, he messaged to say he's just listened to every single episode back to back. My assumption is that back to back means without sleep, and he's just done them all. I don't know how possible that is, but he's listened to them all back to back, which is, I mean, could you imagine listening to me and you, or you and Leighton, and then me and you for that long?
So basically, what you're saying is he's listened to me. So I'm going to take this completely away from you. He's listened to me for 100-odd episodes. So basically, this is, I just smacked myself in the face with the microphone. I got too excited.
That's karma.
So there, this karma is all about me then, basically. So he's just listened to me for 100 episodes. Not you, me. See, me. The king of the world.
That's why you're an emotional thinker and I'm a logical thinker.
Yeah.
He couldn't have just... The reason me and Leighton have, you know, half the episodes is to allow that air of fun. You know, if it was just you, right, there's no way he would have stayed.
Yeah.
You know, that's somebody new coming in. That's probably what it was.
Probably, yeah.
You're Pete, you're hard fucking work.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah. There's no way.
Tell me about it. No one wants to live with me.
ask your therapist. When your therapist offers you a full refund because there's fuck all she can help you with, she should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, brilliant.
when your therapist needs therapy because of therapy in you.
I actually sent her that picture the other day. It's like, it's a picture saying, like, my therapist, as soon as I leave the office, ringing their therapist, help. But yeah, so that's it. We're off to the Northeast, and yeah, let us know if you're about. Come and say hi. If you see us, come and say hi. Yeah, and we'll be there the week of the Monday's the 22nd. So from the 21st and however long we're there for, a week, whenever we leave, we'll be there. We'll let you know. As we say, you're on the Buy Me Coffee. You get a close friend story. You'll see where we are. You'll see who we're interviewing and chatting to. You see all the behind the scenes stuff on there, on the close friends. And I mean, that's from as little as like £2 a month or something like that. So it's bugger all, but it does help to support the show. We need to buy new microphones. We need to buy more computer stuff. We need more lighting. There's so much shit we need. We've got a list of it, but yeah. Like and subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow us wherever you find us. As we say, the Discord is now part of the Buy Me Coffee as well, so that will be live. And if you want 10% off Surface wetsuits, use the discount code UKSurfShow24, and that will get you 10% off anything you get from Surface wetsuits. I think that's everything, isn't
Surf
it?
Surf Splendor. Is that what it is? Is that a podcast? WSL podcast?
I don't know. Oh, is that the one you sent me that Swanee sent you?
The one Swanee sent. Swanee sent me a video clip last night of, I don't know what it's called, Surf Splendor?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's like Americans, I think it's a WSL surf podcast, and they were chatting about pissing in wetsuits.
Yeah.
And they had a long conversation about it. And they were like, there can't be a single human in the world that doesn't lag in his wetsuit. And they were like, if there's one person out there, we should get in contact. So send them in my direction, and yeah, I'll let them know how fucking trampy they are. It was funny because they went into a conversation, went, but wait a minute. And they're running through these scenarios. We're like, but wait a minute. So someone is going to have made it out of the back, caught some waves, need a piss. So they're going to go to the effort of paddling in, going to the toilet. And then they were like, Where even is the closest toilet in Huntington? Yeah. They went into so much depth. I'm like, I'm your man. I am your man.
Yeah. Surely it would be easier just to whip your wetsuit off in the sea and just piss and then slide it back up you.
There'd be no need to slide it back in 6.5 degree water temperature, would there?
No, slide it back up you, the wetsuit. Yeah, anyway.
I'm also scared about them little fish that swim up your urethra. I know they're more in African rivers,
yeah,
but
one's made it across just for you.
Like, what are they called? Crocodiles, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's it. We'll see you in the Northeast and look forward to them. We've got, I think, two more Welsh ones to come out.
I don't know, there's a few.
I think there's two more, maybe three. Two or three more Welsh ones to come out. One will be next week, and the other one will either be the week after, or we might do a roundup of the North East trip. So, yeah, take it easy, and we will see you next time. Cheers.